Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for the sermon today is the Epistle, Romans chapter 5. Paul is writing these words to Christians living in Rome who are experiencing a little bit of suffering. Mainly, as Christians in Rome, they were suffering the threat of persecution all around them. And Paul reminds them that through that suffering, they can still experience joy, they can still have endurance and character and hope as a result of that suffering, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has come into their world and provides that joy and that hope, even when things don't look so good all around them. I think that's especially appropriate for us today as we see lots of things around us looking like they're crumbling down. We know that God reaches into our world and he gives us that same hope and that same joy today. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, these are really interesting times that we're living in, that's for sure. I mean, the kinds of things that people are dealing with right now are really kind of unprecedented. I mean, it's not as though we've never had worldwide sicknesses and plagues before. That's happened numerous times throughout human history, but still, the reaction to it is something that I don't think we've ever really seen before. It's very, very interesting to watch. This small thing that got started a few months ago, just a few people contracting this new virus in China. And maybe we heard about it in the news back in, you know, January or February or something like that. But this has now grown and spread to the point where now the World Health Organization has declared this is a global pandemic. There are new cases that are being added to the list every single day, and it's not like we really can see an end in sight quite yet. And I think what's really been interesting to me personally, and probably to a lot of you too, is just to see the way that people have been responding and reacting to this whole thing. You know, both on an individual level and in the level of society. I've had conversations with numerous people who believe that this whole thing is just overblown. That really this is just a big media-driven frenzy. It's all making a mountain out of a molehill. And even if you get the coronavirus, it's probably no worse than just the regular flu or something like that. So people will say, what's the big deal? Why are we responding this way? Now, on the other hand, I'm sure we have seen that there are plenty of people that are panicking. On the other side of that spectrum, people that are refusing to go into places where there might be large crowds, and I'm thankful that all of you came out to worship today. But have you been to Walmart lately? I mean, you can't even get toilet paper right now. It's just absolutely crazy out there. And then, of course, you know, on the level of society, we've seen all kinds of things shutting down. You know, there's no concerts. All major sports have pretty much canceled. We're not going to have school starting Tuesday for the next 2 weeks. There's travel bans to certain parts of the world, right? And so I think this is something that's affecting all of us. I can speak personally as a pastor. I've seen where, you know, a lot of our nursing homes and care facilities in this area have completely shut down to visitors. Right now, more than half of our shut-in members, I am not even allowed to go see. And there's no way to tell when that's going to end. So I think the point is, whether you're on one end of the spectrum or the other in terms of how much concern you think there should be over the coronavirus, there's no way to deny that it affects all of us. It affects all of us in different ways, but it certainly does affect us, and it's going to, and we don't know exactly how in the future, but it will. How do you even begin to fight against something that is so powerful, so widespread, so uncontainable? I'm sure many of you are thinking it's just inevitable that a bunch of us here in this room are eventually going to get the virus. Someone's going to bring it to Hoyleton, right? We don't know who, but someone's going to bring it here. There were a couple cases in St. Clair County yesterday, right? So it's getting a little bit closer each and every day. How do we fight against something like this? Up till now, the answer has been that we need to try as best as we can to quarantine and isolate that virus. And yes, we've heard about all of the benefits of hand washing, but also just talking about social distancing, keeping ourselves apart, physically apart from one another. So that's why, you know, things like no hugs, no handshakes. If you think that you've been exposed, you're being encouraged to stay home, self-quarantine for at least 14 days. It's gotten to the point now where if you actually reach out your hand to greet somebody, that's seen as an assault, right? Somebody might think that you have some ulterior motive. You're trying to get people sick. I mean, we become suspicious of one another. And unfortunately, we begin to lose the personal connections that come along with physical presence, right? So you lose that a little bit of that personal relationship you might have with some of your acquaintances. It's nobody's fault, it's just reality, but we pray that this doesn't last forever. We pray that this goes back to normal as soon as possible. In my opinion, the sooner the better. As a Christian, as a pastor, I can't help but kind of make the most obvious spiritual connection here. And when we see the widespread panic that is caused by the coronavirus, we get a little bit of a glimpse into the way that God perceives the world when he looks down and he considers the sickness, the disease that has affected us all, not just in our bodies, but in our souls. The universal pandemic that is not just limited to certain countries, certain pockets of society, but this virus, this spiritual virus that has literally spread to every single person alive today, the sinful nature that is within us all, which is a spiritual disease so powerful, so widespread, so uncontainable that it actually has a 100% mortality rate. Literally every single death that has ever happened on this planet, in the history of this planet, has come because of sin. There's a reason why human beings are no longer allowed to eat from the tree of life, and it's because of sin. And yes, even the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who even though as the sinless Son of God is immune personally to this sinful disease, still it was according to his human nature as true man that he willingly went to the cross, and it was sin that put him there. It was your sin. It was my sin too. You would think that considering all of the panic about the coronavirus, you would think as widespread as it has become, and there's still, at this point, about 150,000 confirmed cases or so, you would think that when we're talking about the disease of sin, which literally has 7.8 billion active cases right now, you would think that that would get a little bit more attention in the world. But one of the big problems with the disease of sin is that it's something that the global community has accepted as just being completely normal. Why would we bother taking measures to try to quarantine or contain sin when, honestly, we're all in the same boat together, right? So maybe when it comes to the world, when it comes to that spectrum of concern, they're more on the side of saying, well, sin is not really a big deal. And maybe it's the Christians that are just making a mountain out of a molehill. Maybe what we should do is instead of trying to fight it, maybe we should accept it, maybe we should tolerate it, maybe we should embrace it and indulge in sin. The irony in all of this, though, is that the less we even attempt to contain and quarantine sin, the more we become quarantined and isolated from one another. Because that's exactly what sin works to do in our lives. Builds these barriers between people, creates heartache and pain and suffering, broken relationships and hurt feelings. Sin does whatever it can to try to sever our relationships with each other and to try to attack and sever that relationship we have with the Lord himself. But in our epistle reading today, Paul's words to the Romans here bring with them a lot of healing and a lot of hope, especially to people like us, especially in the midst of a pandemic of sin. Paul is writing to people like us who were born sick, born in open rebellion and hostility toward God. And what does he say? He says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand." So Jesus came to break down the walls, to break down the barriers that our sin tends to put up. He gave us access. He gave us access to the Father. He put us in direct contact with the Lord, a personal connection that ignores all of our self-destructive quarantining and isolation. God loves each one of us so much that he wasn't about to allow the disease of sin to keep us from having personal contact with him, so he decided to do something about it. He came to us. He took on flesh. He personally reached out with his hands in order to heal each and every one of us, even though we were still highly contagious. Even though we were showing all of the signs and symptoms, the spiritual equivalent of someone who has a terrible cough and a high fever. And yet God wasn't worried about that. He wasn't waiting for us to get better on our own before he was willing to reach out. No, instead, Paul says, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. No amount of soap and water can make you clean enough to enter into God's heavenly presence on your own. No amount of hand sanitizer can really make you spiritually sanitized. It takes a different kind of disinfectant. It takes actually what we saw just a few moments ago with Mackenzie over here. It takes the washing of rebirth and renewal by the power of the Holy Spirit, the water combined with God's word in holy baptism. And it takes what we will also observe and receive in a few moments, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It takes a loving and merciful and all-powerful God to stop a disease like sin in its tracks and give us the hope of eternal life regardless of what happens to us in our bodies here on earth. A God who doesn't wait for his love to be reciprocated before reaching out to us. My prayer is that we would be able to do the same in our relationships with each other. That we wouldn't allow this global pandemic of sin to keep us isolated from each other. Instead of self-quarantining and refusing to reach out to our neighbor until we feel like they're going to reach out to us first, let us follow the Lord's example. Let's smash through those barriers that exist between us. Let's show love proactively to our neighbors, to our family, to our friends, to the strangers we meet wherever we go, and yes, even to our own enemies. So that instead of worrying and panicking over the spread of a virus like the world is doing right now as we speak, we can spread good news. We can spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. We can use our godly sanitized hands to make sure that the love of Christ will never be isolated and quarantined, but that his love can truly go viral. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.